Scripture today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. Hear the word of the Lord. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi gave a great banquet for him in his house. And there was a large crowd of tax collectors and others sitting at the table with them. The Pharisees and their scribes were complaining to his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered, "Those who are well have no need of physician, but those who are sick do. I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The word of the Lord.
Let us pray. O Lord, silence within us any voice but your own, that hearing we may believe and obey. In Jesus' name, amen. It was said of Abraham Lincoln while he was president that people either admired him immensely or hated him wholeheartedly. Lincoln was such a man of high principle and deep conviction that there was no middle ground. Following his assassination, however, almost everyone agreed that Lincoln's greatness lay beyond politics. Walt Whitman said Lincoln was the grandest figure on the crowded canvas of the 19th century. Leo Tolstoy compared him with Christ. "Lincoln was a Christ in miniature," he wrote, "a saint of humanity whose name will live thousands of years in the legends of future generations." But if there are similarities between Lincoln and Christ, there are also vast differences, and one is this. While Lincoln has long since been raised above controversy, Jesus has not. Jesus remains as enigmatic as ever. His name, of course, is a household word, but there is no broad, universal consensus as to who Jesus is or what Jesus stands for. Even today in the 21st century, Jesus attracts and Jesus repels. And his treatment of Levi in this story tells us why. Now, Jesus certainly attracted this tax collector. No sooner does Jesus say to Levi, "Follow me," than Levi submits his resignation to the Internal Revenue Service, locks the office door, and walks off the map into uncharted territory. And I have to ask, why does he turn his back on such a profitable livelihood to go after a penniless preacher? Levi, after all, was on the way to becoming a very, very wealthy man. Because in the Roman Empire at that time, the empire was so spread out, there were such great distances, that the government would contract with its citizens to collect taxes in a given area, and then that citizen would subcontract the actual duty of collecting taxes to locals like Levi, who knew the population very, very well. As a result, the system lent itself to graft and extortion. But as long as Rome got what Rome required, she turned a blind eye to the contractors and the subcontractors who were milking the people for all they could get. And so Levi, one of those subcontractors, must have had a tidy fortune already stashed away in a Swiss bank account. Unnumbered, of course. With plenty more on the way. And he walked away from it all to follow Jesus. And I ask why. What was Jesus' attraction? At the risk of oversimplification, let me put it this way. Jesus attracts people because he accepts us as we are. He never leaves us as we are. But he begins his relationship with us by accepting us as we are. Earlier in this same chapter, a leper approaches Jesus. Now remember that lepers were despised by other people because leprosy was considered to be God's judgment on that person's sin. They had leprosy because they were such a great sinner. And therefore lepers were social outcasts. People would have nothing to do with them because they believed God had nothing to do with them except to bring God's judgment upon their sins in the form of leprosy. But listen to the conversation between that leper and Jesus, as recorded in the Jerusalem translation of the New Testament. "Sir, if you want to, you can cure me." Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, "Of course I want to. Be cured." That is the Savior who touches us where we are. That is the Savior who accepts us as we are. That is the Jesus who cuts through all of the religious fantasy that we may surround ourselves with, all of the guilt that we may feel. That is the Jesus who cuts through everything that keeps us away from God and says, "Of course I want to. Be cured." Now, it amazes me that Jesus didn't wait for that man to turn over a new leaf. He didn't wait for him to join the church, as these wonderful people joined the church today. He didn't wait for him to give 10% of his income to the synagogue or to the temple. In the leper's case, he didn't even wait for him to repent of his sins, if he had any. Jesus responded enthusiastically, "Of course I want to. Be cured." He acted with out and out grace. He accepted that man just as he was. His invitation to Levi is, if anything, even more shocking. Levi, a Jew, was a collaborator with the hated Romans who had conquered and occupied Palestine almost 100 years earlier. Now, during World War II, we called collaborators like that Quislings. Some of you have been asking me this week, what's your sermon title all about? Quisling Levi. Where does that term come from? It comes from Vidkun Quisling, a Norwegian politician who betrayed his nation to the Nazis and then became their puppet ruler in Norway. Quisling did his best to turn the Norwegians into Nazi believers. Of course, he failed miserably. He went after the churches. He went after the schools. He tried to educate people into becoming national socialists. And thank God he failed miserably. After the war, because he was indicted and convicted of sending at least 1,000 Jews to concentration camps, Vidkun Quisling was executed by the Norwegians in October of 1945. Levi was a first century Quisling. And his fellow Jews hated him for it. They would have executed him had they had the opportunity. And as far as the religious establishment was concerned, Levi was beyond repentance, because repentance in those days required, get this now, it required that the person who repented, in Levi's case, that he identify every instance of graft, every person he defrauded, and every penny that he had taken dishonestly. Now, I doubt that Levi kept two sets of books. And so there was no way he could fulfill the standard requirements for repentance and forgiveness. There was no way he could be accepted by the church of his day, but Jesus accepted him. More than that, Jesus made him one of his 12 apostles. One of his most trusted and closest associates. And that was Jesus' attraction. He insisted on forgiving people before they repented. He gave them his trust before they earned it. He recruited them with all of their dirty linen. He offered them his unconditional love. That was his attraction, and it was his downfall. The Pharisees and the scribes were complaining to his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And before many months go by, their complaining will turn into hostility, and their hostility will nail him to a cross. Because what was a compelling attraction to some was to others a gross abomination. You simply could not convince the Orthodox pastors and theologians of that day Jesus was acting for God when he touched dirty lepers and went to parties with quislings. No, they expected such sinners to be penitent if they wanted divine favor, to make full restitution for their sins if they expected to have their prayers answered, to learn all the right words, and to agree to all the right doctrines before they could get into God's good graces. And as far as they were concerned, Jesus was standing religion on its head, and they hated him for it, and eventually executed him for it. Levi loved him for it. And he could hardly wait to have his friends over, to introduce them to Jesus, and to go on record publicly as a follower of the Nazarene. Years later, if tradition is correct, Levi went as a missionary to North Africa, and there he composed a document in honor of the man who accepted him unconditionally. Now, that document is still being published today in thousands of languages and dialects. We could call it the Gospel according to Levi, but we actually call it the Gospel according to Matthew, because Matthew is Levi, and Levi is Matthew. So, did Levi repent of his former conduct? Yes, but only after Jesus took him into the family. Then, knowing that he was loved unconditionally, Levi did a 180. He repented, he changed, he turned around and walked in the steps of Jesus, his Savior, and in time he gave us the first book in the New Testament. If you're not sure you belong the Jesus family, if your sins loom like a high wall between you and heaven, Levi invites you to his party. Jesus is there. And when he sees you coming, he will say with all of the authority of heaven, "Of course I want you in my family. Come, follow me."